Oh man. Sturgill has, been a good friend for a while, and he was definitely motivated in a way that I hadn't seen. And he just came at me and was like, "I'm the producer for your next record." And at first I told him no on the second album, All American Made. He wanted to produce that album, and but he just wouldn't take no for an answer. And I thought, okay, like nobody else is really knocking on my door right now to get in the production seat. And I really trust him. I trust his opinions and his brazenness and his willingness to also tell people in the establishment to piss off.
Yeah,
So it
absolutely.
was good. Yeah, it's a good fit. Yeah, him and I are both like pariahs in our own way, and yeah, it was a great time in the studio. He helped me put together the most amazing band with James Gatson on the drums, Pino Palladino on bass, Matt Sweeney on guitar, and Ben Montinch from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers played keys. So I am really happy with the outcome and feel like it's the best thing I've done so far.
Yeah, I mean, the band, the studio band, when I read that lineup, I mean, what was it like recording with those guys? It must have been such an experience.
Oh, it was wild. I mean, they're just so good at what they do, and they know like when to dig in and when to lay out. And they were all really humble and like super kind to me. Every day that everybody would let me pick what I wanted, what we were going to eat for the day, because I was pregnant and I was like still very nauseous and throwing up from morning sickness. So, yeah, it was just there was a very relaxed vibe, but they also were like getting to the point and getting things done and just like serving the song, really playing for what the song needed.
And the perseverance, of you going through and still recording and, pushing through while, suffering through things like morning sickness. I mean, I take my hat off to you, Marco. It's like I've never even been pregnant, and the story's enough. I'm like, I'd be in bed for 9 months. I would play that card as hard as I could do it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I definitely have stories to tell that would just be birth control, because it's there's a lot of stuff they don't tell you, and then you find it out and you're like so mad. You're like, why didn't they warn me that this was going to happen? There's really like no manual about like how to raise a kid. So good luck.
In previous interviews, you've kind of expressed your, I don't know, I want to say dismay or even disappointment with just constantly, lazily being compared to female artists when you, often draw quite a lot of inspiration from male artists as well. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. And have you found there's been any change in the last couple of years?
I do think, just even reading the reviews for this record, I think people are starting to kind of get it. And, I definitely am not like this one trick pony that's just like impersonating Loretta Lynn. I mean, of course I love Loretta and she is an amazing artist, but I mean, I definitely have studied music from all genres, all backgrounds, and I wanted to be able to express myself in a different way. I do think there's still a lot of obstacles for women artists, and I'm jumping over them as quickly as I can. And I'm really trying to support other women out there that are doing it, especially Black artists. And I think, hopefully there's going to be like a sea change in some way, but I look back at like the bra burning era of feminism in the 60s and 70s, and then I look at seeing like our abortion rights being stripped away in front of our eyes right now, and I don't know when we're going to be treated equally and paid equally, and it's been a really hard fight, but I'm glad to use the small platform that I have to to get the word out and to try to encourage other women to speak up as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think as well, as someone like myself, I mean, I've originally from the country in Australia, and, you know, we listen to a lot of American country and a lot of alt country. And it's always been this really interesting thing where I've moved from like rural New South Wales into the city, and a lot of people kind of go, oh, you know, but, you know, country is quite sexist, and, you know, there's not this kind of room for female artists. And I completely disagree, but I don't know, what do you kind of think about that?
I think there's plenty of room for us. I just think that a lot of the gatekeepers don't really want to give the space, because you've got people like Luke Bryan with 25 number one hits, but yet, you know, they're not going to play like Kacey Musgraves. Yeah. Or, you know, like, she's definitely should have radio time, you know? And I think that her music like fits into that, that format even a little better, but they just won't allow it. And I don't know if it's like a financial thing where they're like, no, 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 we're just going to give it to these men because that's how it goes. I think there's just a lot of hand jobs that happen, a lot of favors that people do and expect. And these radio programmers, man, sometimes they can be a little ugly. And I did one country radio tour, and the men that I met that were in charge there, it was like some of them had expectations that I just was not going to ever fulfill. And so I never wanted to go on that radio tour in the first place. I'm happy to be played by, you know, places that play alt country, places that play Americana, Sirius XM, and, you know, college radio and independent radio stations. But as far as like, you know, getting my name in the hat there, I never have had any ambitions of being sandwiched in between like Blake Shelton and whatever other Joe Schmo they got of the week that's singing about their trucks and their
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to talk about you guys filming Letting Me Down. It was filmed from home and also in an abandoned hospital. What was it like on set in the abandoned hospital? I mean, I don't know about you, I get creeped out pretty easily. Like, I won't even walk down a semi-lit path. So what was it like in the hospital?
Oh, it was so creepy. And we drove like 3 miles out, or not 3 miles, 3 hours out of town, almost all the way to Memphis, to this abandoned insane asylum. And we had like a tour guide who is a professional at breaking into places. And so he led us around to this place that was like the back entrance. And we hiked through the woods to get there. We trespassed on federal property. They had people patrolling the area, and apparently folks get arrested all the time for breaking and entering into this mental hospital. But it was so spooky on the inside. I mean, not a lot of graffiti, but just paint chips everywhere and belongings from people who were committed. You know, there were still like suitcases, and there were all the files, and there were death records. And I for sure had the hair on the back of my neck stand up several times. It was really cool though. You know, it kind of felt like I was in Goonies. I don't know if you know that movie, but it's like, you know, you're like a kid again, and you're just like breaking into a place that you know you shouldn't be in. It was so exciting and dangerous, and like just what I needed after being quarantined for 90 days. I needed a bit of excitement.
This is one thing that I couldn't pass asking. I saw this come up on your Facebook the other day. Can you tell us a little bit about Winner Winner Chicken Dinner?
Yes. I wanted to figure out a way that I could help support the community and local record stores. And, you know, I know that the restaurant business and a lot of my friends that work as servers and bartenders, they're all really hurting financially right now. So I just thought it'd be really cool to do breakfast, lunch, dinner, and people can order to go and carry out. And then it comes with a copy of the record. So, you know, in Nashville's, I think it's open too soon. And there are people that are going into restaurants again. And I feel like just doing to go is the way to do it. And like, come get drunk at your house. Like we can get drunk at home, guys. Trust me, it's fun.
Yeah, because there's a signature craft cocktail that comes with it as well, right?
Yes, you can order this like spicy tequila drink that I named the Devil's Backbone, which is after my favorite bar in Texas. That's also a haunted bar. It's like a biker bar. So yeah, you can like get food, music, and booze and have it all in the comfort and safety of your own home. And we also we're going to do a live performance from a dive bar on Friday. And so the band and I will be performing a bunch of songs from the album, and it'll be streamed via like Spotify and YouTube. And so it's like, you can still have a concert with the full band, and you can eat some tacos and have a spicy tequila drink while you do it.